B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think I'm back. Can you hear me now, Zoe?
I hear you fine.
Oh, yeah. Sound good.
What happened there? What did it sound like?
Sound like Max Headroom.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
I did not get electrocuted. All I was saying at the end there, if you couldn't hear it, was you've done the right thing, so now why don't you do the right thing? That's what I said. All right. Noontime hour. Here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985, the phone number for you.
I feel like we've done enough for the day. I feel
yeah.
When did Fred, bang out his shows? Hour two, hour three?
I thought Fred was fully engaged for the full 4 hours today.
He was good today. Yeah.
You're not going to get me to say otherwise, though.
You know what time he went to bed last night? 7. At some point, Fred's going to hit. I listen to Fred at times, and this is the best thing about Fred. He talks about his sons watching Doogie Howser and his daughters watching, I guess, Saved by the Bell, of course, so Fred could. Fred's go-to thing is Saved by the Bell, reviewing those episodes, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a benchmarked bit, yes.
He said nothing after like 7. Like, the depression is starting to set in with Fred, and you could really feel it. The monotony of it.
His son
like
watching
I said
Doogie
today
Howser?
At the start of our show, I don't know what day it is when you wake up. Today felt like a Thursday. I honest to God felt, I thought today was Thursday. Because you don't have weekends anymore. Every day is the same. It's like prison. Prison Mike. They feed you three gruel.
You would be the Bella de Ball.
Look at you,
I'm telling you, the days when the office is not on, because it goes different days. Sometimes it's South Park on that Comedy Central loop. The office days are the comfort days. That's my comfort food on in the background. I told you, the kids are watching it now, too.
Yeah.
It's good.
People break my balls because I hate dumbasses. I'll tweet it out. Oh, hey, it's a sexual harassment show with Todd Packer. And they're like, well, you have Netflix. Of course I got Netflix. But I'm like you, Hardy. I just
What's
like
Netflix?
I've
never heard of that one.
Netflix.
I think that's that new gonorrhea medication now available over the counter.
Zithromax, you're thinking of.
Oh, that's sorry, different.
You ever been on that?
Yeah, it's good.
like
is that
you,
a psyllium husk fiber supplement?
I need the Xfinity remote. I need HL 850. I just like the regular channel when it's on with the commercials. I don't know what it is.
Maybe you and I are old school, though.
I don't want to buzz through episodes in 17 minutes.
It's cheating when you go seek it out and I'm going to go, no. You know
it's
what I'd like to
do? Yeah,
I'd like to be surprised by Goodfellas started 10 minutes ago. It's a gift. I wasn't even thinking
IFC.
About it.
IFC. You know what was on IFC last night? I watched it totally uncut, but it had commercials. Was American Sniper.
Yeah, I saw that on last night.
That's badass. Yeah. I tell you what, that's Bradley Cooper's best movie. I know he's good in The Hangover, but I know he's good as Sackman in Wedding Crashers. I think American Sniper is his best movie. He was good.
Well, it's a serious role. That's why.
Yeah, the way they shot it too, man. It really felt like you're in the middle of a war.
You didn't see A Star Is Born, did you?
I did.
I haven't watched it.
Multiple times. Like, I go through it in segments, and it's just a guy that's a mess.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe he said
he wasn't bad in that. That wasn't a bad movie.
No. It's not one of my favorites of his.
I haven't gotten to the stage of coronavirus shut-in binge-watching yet.
I haven't either. Like, what's this tiger thing everybody's talking
about? I think we need to do a show viewing of that.
Is that what we need to do?
The three of us are the only ones who have not watched this yet.
What's
All
that
right, what is
assignment
it?
Thing we did? Remember, we watched that murder thing, right?
Yeah,
we did.
Was it Making a Murder? What was that? No.
Evil Genius.
Evil genius. Oh, the dude had that thing strapped his neck. That was awesome.
We need to watch
Making a Murderer, but I did not. We did as a group the Evil Genius.
Okay, Tiger King.
What is that about?
It's about a gay guy that trains a tiger with his husband, right?
A zoo owner spirals out of control amid a cast of eccentric characters in this true murder-for-hire story from the underworld of big cat breeding.
This is like this is like Siegfried and Roy then, right?
The underworld of big cat breeding.
I mean,
yes, that's a world we've all wanted to know more about.
There could be a Siegfried and Roy tie-in. I don't know. This seems more like Florida than Vegas, though. I'm looking at just stills.
Oh, that's like
the
Florida
series
Man
follows Joe
tiger.
Exotic. Joe Exotic, a larger-than-life zookeeper in rural Oklahoma.
What?
As he seeks fame and fortune in the backstabbing world of tiger zoos.
Okay, can we start this tonight, please?
Sure.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
We're going to watch episode one?
Yeah, looks like...
I don't think it's on the Netflix. I think it's on Netflix.
And it's 7 episodes.
Okay, so we start tonight?
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Everybody's watching it. I feel like I'm missing something.
All right. Well, we're in then. We're definitely in. Our buddy JT says... Watch it. It's amazing. You won't be able to stop watching.
The hell's he know?
What do you think all our sales guys are doing right now?
Well, Callahan's scratching his neck somewhere off every cancellation he's getting.
It's about the same what they always do.
Alpert's somewhere taking a selfie of himself. Winship's laughing at the selfies.
It's like now they're able to go home and watch Netflix and not have the shame that they do normally.
Right. McGowan's probably doing push-ups, looking at himself in the mirror. Moscatel's eating a donut with a gallon of chocolate milk next to him. Alex is probably at some bar with Christian. Leah's probably working. You know?
That is true. Yeah, that's probably the case.
Yeah.
Let's get to some of your calls. Jesse is in Houston. Jesse.
Hey, fellas. Hey, hope you all are well. Big fan. I am calling because there's a lot of talk about how we got to improve fullbacks, tight ends, but I'm not seeing enough on the offensive line front. You know, we got an undersized left tackle. Cannon's got some injury issues. Andrews isn't a sure thing. And if we're going to have a new quarterback back there, we got to have some time for the guy to throw the ball. So just wanted to see what your guys' take was on all this.
I don't know. What's your take on it, though?
I mean, I think here in the near future, Cannon's a guy that could potentially have his contract restructured. You know, they're going to have to free up some cap space. They're $5.5 million over the cap with Kostowski factored in. Gets them down under five. It's only at $800,000 cap savings by releasing him because he restructured or did the extension. You've got Andrews. You got two of the best guards in the league next to him. Andrews back. He's one of the best centers in the league. He is clear. He's medically clear. He's ready to go. He's strong. Cannon is a good experienced guy on that right side, so it'd be the front side guy for Stidham. Or Hoyer. Backside, you got a first-round pick in Isaiah Wynn that you got to coach up. And you just add more depth and maybe help him on that backside a little bit. Get a freaking tight end to help these guys off the edge, too. Give them those big stud tight ends, and I think you're going to be okay up front. I do. I don't look at the offensive line as a weakness. Like, receiver to me now is a head-scratcher. Edelman's your front runner. I have no clue with Sanu. Could Sanu come back and... From this ankle, what if they ask him to take a pay cut? They're going to piss him off.
Yeah, let's see if he's here. That's
He may be Beetle, one of those guys. We're down there, I don't know, August, if camp's in August now, if it's pushed back. Maybe we're down there looking at it as like Sanu could be a bubble guy as far as.
Well, yeah, you know. I mean, based on the injury news, based on there being a setback, something to keep an eye on.
Harry's here. You know, he should be better this year, but you're still another guy, you know, away on that outside there. So,
Bob is in Bristol. Bob.
How you doing?
Go ahead.
Hey, so how come nobody's considered that maybe the Patriots sucked last year because, on offense anyways, because Josh McDaniel laid an egg? Maybe that's why Brady was disgruntled. Maybe that's why he's not here anymore. I got to imagine all the years they worked together, they got to be pretty close. And all the goodbyes Brady had to say, he never once mentioned Josh McDaniels. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't think Josh McDaniels is the reason he left. Sorry. I don't even think it's on the radar.
No, I didn't see any friction between
Josh McDaniels may have sucked last year, but that's not why Brady left.
Would Josh McDaniels like to have some third and ones back, some fourth and ones back, I'm sure.
Sure.
Instead of tightening it up and running right up the middle. Sony Michel without a lead back. I think if he singles out McDaniels, then he's got to go and do the kiss ass with Billy O'Brien and Charlie Weiss and all that. We talked about this yesterday. I didn't see any friction between Brady and McDaniels. Hard to pin it all on the offense. I mean, they came out the boogeyman at the beginning of the year, right? I think that was more based on the type of opponents they were playing, turning the football over. The defense struggled there a little bit at the end. You know? You weren't getting the same type of turnovers. Where was Jamie Collins at the end of the year? He looked like he could have been your defensive MVP first five games. Guy was all over the place. So.
617-779-0985. The phone number. We'll get back to your calls coming up after the action update.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Couple open phone lines. You want to grab one right now. We're hearing from some of our sales guys, too, Zoe.
Yeah. Moscatel has checked in.
What they've been up to, Adam Moscatel says, I've been eating broccoli, chicken, and rice for the last 7 days. Except for last night, I ate an entire box of my kids' Frosted Flakes, half a bag of share-size M&Ms, and about 15 Reese's mini peanut butter cups, and then I went directly to bed.
He's so gross. When's the last time he's tucked his shirt in at work?
Oh, that's great. I wonder how his beard is doing. Wonder how that's.
Carrie's probably working.
Yeah. Wonder how that's looking.
Sneak's
right
working.
Now.
Tina's working. They're all working. You know.
617-779-0985. Dominic is in Connecticut. Dominic.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just had a question when the guy brought up Mel Kiper picking the draft. Does anyone look at how correct he is in all the predictions he makes, or do they put any stock in that?
He's pretty good.
I'll leave it up to you.
I have no idea. I've never looked at his track record of hits in the mock draft. I look at mock drafts, Dominic, as like something, a conversation starter. I know that, you know, some guys actually care about whether or not they got the pick right. I don't know what the fun
top
is
10.
In that.
Top like, 10 are pretty much the most accurate, right? Like, you know who.
Yeah.
You know who, like, the top 5 or 10 picks are going to be. Then it's a crapshoot after that.
I don't understand how these guys get so excited where they're like, yeah, I called who was going to get taken at 34 overall. Like, okay. Congratulations.
I got one pick right over my 20 years covering this team, and it was Nate Solder at 18. I think he got picked 18th. That's the only guy I've ever, you know, even had got close to picking to who they were going to take. Did anybody think they're going to take Gronkowski, Hernandez? No. Edelman, where they got him, you know, coming off playing a quarterback. No, it's tough to pick these type of guys. Sony Michel was a shocker, right? Isaiah Wynn was sort of a shocker first rounds. N'Keal Harry, he was the first receiver off the board, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Because Debo and those guys all went after him.
Yeah, I think he was. I'd have to double. There was another guy taken right around him.
Yeah, correct. Metcalf, you know, Seattle got him after him.
I'm reading a story right now that says Kiper's been has the highest hit rate among all the guys who do it.
He's the best. He puts in a lot of work. He really
like
does.
But you know what the highest hit rate was? I'm looking for a date on this story. I don't know when it was written.
Probably what? But 16 guys, right?
No, he was at 46% of. Yeah. Of picking correctly in the top 16, the top half of the first round. Oof. That's how they graded out with top half of the first round, bottom half of the first round, apparently, when they grade some of these guys. And he was the best out there at 46%. So, like, half the time he gets it right on the easiest picks to try and figure out. So, you know, I don't care. I don't care. I think it's okay. He brings up a quarterback. We get to talk about that possibility. We move on. I'm not really concerned with whether or not that's actually the pick or not.
He's entertaining. He's entertaining. I've liked Mel over the years because I think he brings a lot of energy. He knows something on every guy. Except, wasn't it Wasn't it Devin McCourty, like he didn't have anything on?
I don't recall that.
No, wasn't it Rozai Dowling? Somebody's like, is this guy?
No, it was Tavon Wilson, I think.
Okay. It was somebody they took in the second round. Devin was a first rounder. He was last pick first round.
Yeah, Tavon Wilson was a second round pick, and I think he was the guy that it was a reach and they had nothing on him.
Okay. You're right. Yeah. It's a good pickup there.
Pretty sure it was. But you know who was the best one ever was when Darius Heyward-Bey was taken. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Maryland.
When the Raiders drafted him?
Speed guy, right? Out of Maryland.
Yeah, but when they drafted him, they didn't have any video on him?
Yeah, because I don't think he had many catches. Just some fast guy. Typical Raiders pick.
Yeah. He was the 7th overall pick, and they didn't have video on the 7th overall pick. Like, yikes. That was bad news for the Raiders. That was one of my favorites of all time. Pete in Delaware. Pete, how you been?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Mel Kiper, real quick. You guys were put him on the map was that time he went after the Colts GM. Do you remember that back in the
day? Yeah, that had to be, 20 years ago or more now.
But that was brilliant, and that's what created Mel Kiper, because he just would call it like he saw it, and then the guy fought him back, and Mel Kiper became a legend after that. I thought that was – so it worked for him, but he's all right.
Who's the guy he drafted to the Colts picked? Was it Trevor?
It was the Dilfer pick. Remember, they didn't take Dilfer, and they took someone –
linebacker out of Nebraska.
I forget who it was. Because they didn't take Dilfer. But
it is. It's because it was Bill Tobin. Bill Tobin was the GM in Indianapolis.
It's because they passed on Dilfer, but I forget who they passed on him for.
They did. That is who they passed on. I'll have to look up. It was 94 was the year.
So it was a linebacker out of like Nebraska or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great TV. I remember watching it. But, hey, the reason I called was kind of TV. The NBA or even the other leagues. The NFL is just sucking up everything in sports with free agency, especially when Brady left. They have to throw anything out they can to try to stay relevant in this time. But the NFL, and anyone who thinks the NFL is not going to have the draft, of course they are. They're the only game in town right now that anybody's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could push it back a couple of weeks, though, and still have that same viewership.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, though, they are the only game in town. I mean, I'd be honest, I'm a big Celtics fan, but I forgot about it. I've been all over it. My mind's been on the whole free agency, the Brady thing. I kind of forgot about the NBA, and I love it.
Because we just
that's the only thing going on right now.
Got to cling to whatever we got. By the way, it was Trev Alberts.
Trev Alberts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was.
Nebraska. Trev Alberts
Tobin famously told the ESPN crew, who in the hell is Mel Kiper anyway?
Zone Trev Alberts, linebacker out of Nebraska.
Yeah, he was pretty good on TV because we had the same agent, Ralph Sindrich. And Trev was really good. Remember when CNN had CNN Sports?
Yes.
He was one of the anchors on there with him.
Wasn't it? Didn't they call it CNNSI? Wasn't that like
it did. Yes. Yes.
It was like a joint thing. But yeah, no, and CNN tried to go big on sports for a while too.
Yeah, Trev was one of the big guys they got. And, he was pretty good.
And Trev Alberts. Disappeared.
Trev Alberts.
There you go.
Three sacks in 4 years, Trev Alberts.
Yeah, he didn't pan out for being the 7th overall pick.
No, he's back at Nebraska. He's like an administrator of some kind. Yeah.
Sorry,
Remember Tony Mandarich went to Green Bay? He was all juiced up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good bust.
Jacob in Dorchester. Jacob.
Ed, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
I believe what he was waiting for is with the 6 games, the schedules, because these guys also have to work concerts too, and they don't know about the concerts. Some of them work the Celtics games, the graduations. He has to check into all that first.
Disney on Ice. It's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't understand the point. I'm sorry. I don't follow.
No, he's saying that you're not just missing out on the hours you would work for games.
8 Bruins games.
Other events at the Garden that you would expect to be working too, you're missing out on that income.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I completely agree. I understand what you're saying. Some of our listeners don't agree. I can tell you that.
No. Do you think they would?
This email says, you are completely misinformed on the subject of unemployment and Bruins staff losing their part-time jobs. Part-time, all caps, all exclamation points. And then he writes, F off. But he wrote off the whole he wrote the whole word. It's very, very mean.
F off to us?
Yes, telling us to F off. He says the whole country, or he or she, because it's unsigned, The whole country is laid off from their full-time jobs. Boo-hoo, they lost their part-time jobs, their second job. Are you guys serious?
The whole country is not laid off from their full-time jobs.
Well, I'm just telling you what the listener wrote in. Just telling you how this makes some people feel.
This is really affecting restaurants, bars, people that are part-time, that work in food service.
But to his point, I just generally assume that people that take on a part-time job working at the Garden until 10, 11, midnight, weeknights, are independently wealthy. So he's right. All these people who work, you know, 2 and 3 jobs are doing so just so
because
they can
like to work. They
continue
like
to amass their fortunes.
Yeah.
He's, you know what? I take it back. You're right. Screw those people. They don't need the money. He makes an excellent point, especially with the F off part, which is helpful to any, you know, healthy debate.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree, Artie. That's right. You know what? In a way, you'd have to say these people are just being greedy, having all these multiple jobs.
Right. Right? Right. Like the guy.
Say something for everybody else.
Who's your buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
Our buddy who came in, who does the anthem a lot of times now.
Todd Angeli?
Todd Angeli, who is also a bartender there and doesn't necessarily get paid to do both. You know, once he gets done singing the anthem, he's got to run back upstairs and keep tending bar. Screw that guy.
I thought he was just bored. Didn't
voice like that, he's
singing.
Sitting on millions. He doesn't need that job.
Right.
He doesn't need the checks. He doesn't need the $50 they might throw him for singing the anthem. Screw him. Now I'm with the emailer. Hey. Absolutely.
There are people in this world that are working 60 or 70 hours a week and don't have a full-time job. And forget this world, this country. There are people in Boston that are working 60 hours a week and are doing it through multiple part-time jobs because for whatever reason.
I'm looking at one right now.
I have.
It sucks. It absolutely sucks. And to assume that all these people are just trying to get over on the system, or that billionaire heads of companies shouldn't be taking care of these people. Well, you lack empathy. That's the issue. There's some people who have empathy and can maybe even put themselves in that person's shoes. And there are other people that say, screw them. It's tough out there for everybody. Well, I guess nobody should make an effort then to help these people out. You're right. Yeah, it's tough out there for everybody.
You're right. I think the email is right. F off.
We should.
That's the attitude.
Yeah. F off.
Line of the day. Hardy has headlines. 617-779-0985. We've got full lines. We'll get to more of your calls. A lot of things in the mix. Patriots over-under set at 9.5.
And there's an issue with working home.
What's the issue?
You get hungrier.
Okay, we'll talk about that with Zoe coming up next.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Nick in the truck has something for us on binge watching. It sounds like we're going to all agree today, and we have agreed, guys, to watch this Tiger show, whatever it's called. Tiger King?
Yeah, Tiger Eat the People.
I don't know if any Tiger people King. Get it. I don't know.
Do you see any tiger attacks?
We haven't watched it yet. We don't.
I want to see someone get their head mauled.
Tiger King, murder, mayhem, and madness.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not rooting for that, but if you want to go down this road and mess with tigers, stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, I root for the cat.
Absolutely. I root for the cat, too.
Yeah,
I definitely root
for the cat.
You're going to train and you're going to confine animals, and you want to play with this big cat. Big cat got to eat. You know?
Yep, that's right. Big cat gets hungry. Speaking of which, so you're hungry. Nick's call in a minute, but yeah, go ahead.
Like, bacon was cooked earlier in my house, and it's starting to, penetrate every room. And you just smell it. It feels like it's a Thanksgiving morning, or...
Yeah.
Like, I went down and got a snack and a banana, and then I'm like, oh, man, now I want bacon and eggs. But that was, like, a while ago. But now you're getting to lunchtime, and it's not like going in a studio where you got, like, that sales guy, Paul Mead, cooking fish in a microwave.
Right.
Where you have these awful smells at work.
No, you've got good smells.
You've got good smells at home. You could be someone could be baking a pie downstairs. Don't even know what kind it is till about an hour into baking. Like, oh, that's an apple. I could smell the cinnamon. Or you could tell it's a cherry pie. Or maybe somebody's making muffins. Not that there's a lot of cooking that goes on here, but I'm just saying.
That feels like a shot.
Not a shot. I grew. You know what I did
last
night?
Not that there's a lot. Hardy, how did you hear that?
I make a chicken piccata to die for.
Yeah, we got that. You sent us the pictures last night.
It did look good. It came out really, really well. And now we're starting to run out of options. Hardy, we talked about this yesterday on the show. What'd you do? Tamales or the, you did the fajita last night or chicken quesadilla?
Oh, no. Mars made, she's amazing. There's like this Asian chicken, and she made two different versions. She made the spicy version for us, and the kids just got the teriyaki version. But I mean like chicken breast that she cubed, breaded, did like a quick flash fry on, and then put it on a bed of rice. And then, like I said, two different, you know, spice options.
And those kids eat that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's delicious.
See, Beetle's got to be creative at home. You got to like split the stuff and... They all got to be the same.
Oh, he's still at the age where he's got to, you know, slice up the hot dogs.
Oh, God.
Right. Right. Can't do anything on their own.
Make sure it's small enough so they don't choke. Right? Oh.
Yeah, it's true.
Worst.
But Nick in the truck has something on binge watching for us. Nick.
It's not so much binge watching, but binge drinking. I just wondered if you guys are there yet, because I'm fairly certain I've been drunk for like 9 days straight.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's drugs, not drugs. I think there's more drinking. And I think sex taking place than the normal rates.
People keeps talking about the sex.
Dude, everybody's talking about it.
I don't know. Are you feeling...
Did you get fixed? Did you get fixed yet?
You feeling particularly sexy these days?
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm with you, Hardy. Like, people are depressed. This is...
Now, Fred's not having any. You know what I mean? Again, not to bring Fred up, but... That dude's knocking out at 6:37 a night.
I'm not buying in on the coronavirus baby boom come December. I don't.
I am.
I am just because people are confined. Like people are.
It
happened after the marathon.
You.
Remember the marathon week? Wasn't there a Boston baby boom?
About the Italy video I sent you. The Italy video that I sent you guys.
Wait, no, you didn't send that video. Did you?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And the act depicted in that video cannot impregnate somebody. So, you know.
But you'll eventually get there.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
That's a good deal, huh?
Anyway. No, I think that everyone definitely has... like, you know, everyone's, like, losing their minds being inside all day, aren't you? Like, everyone's sort of losing it at this point.
At least there's snow on the ground.
It's only been a week. That's what I'm like, man, if everyone's losing their mind now, we're in the early stages of this. Oh, man, that's funny, though. But Tiger King tonight, for sure. Brandon in Boston is something on Madden? What do you got, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on? This is for Uncle Zolak, man. I know you like your Madden, and guess what? I got a QB for you. I know you're real particular about your QBs, but, you know, I have a 9-game winning streak with Joe Flacco. You know what I mean? And he's disintegrating in Denver. You know what I mean? And the Patriots need to revamp their career.
That was the same calls yesterday.
Well, what does he want me to do, take Flacco in the Madden game or take Flacco in real life?
I don't know. It's his way of setting up get Flacco in real life. He said that yesterday. Same call as yesterday.
It was a good call. He wanted to make sure more people heard it today.
I don't want Flacco.
No, nobody wants Flacco.
No.
I don't think anyone in the league wants Flacco. Chris in Tennessee.
Real quick, Beetle. That's a good landing spot for Cam Newton out there in Denver, I think.
Threw it out there yesterday. Could be a spot. Chris in Tennessee. Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I have a question about the tight end. What about the Notre Dame tight end that's about to come up for the draft?
Stud. Stud. How about the big wide receiver out of Notre Dame? That kid's a stud. 6'4" on the outside. Megatron-type guy. You know, they didn't throw a ton. They threw enough. But he tested out great at the combine. Thought he ran fast. Notre Dame pumps out the tight ends. They've done a good job at it over the years. How about Eifert? Eifert signs for $7.5 million a year,
yep.
2 year, $15 million deal.
Yep.
Good God.
See, Kevin's in Abington with a question. Oh, sorry.
Real quick, I would pay what? Jimmy Graham that. Like, I think that's a doable number.
What's wrong with Eifert? What's your? Do you think like Eifert's not worth $7 million? That's like the going rate for a middle of the road tight end now.
I'm just so used to Gronkowski making around $9-$9.5 million.
Yeah, and he was underpaid.
Yeah,
he was underpaid at the end. He had a good contract. He had a team friendly contract at the end. He took the guaranteed money and the security up front. That was his call.
Yep.
Kevin's in Abington with a question for Hardy. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hardy, I had on Pinkerton by Weezer earlier, and I've always thought that Tired of Sex is probably one of the best opening tracks for an album in the 90s of that kind of music. I know you're a fan. I just want to know what your take on that was, and maybe some other opening tracks that really were badass that you thought.
It's a good discussion. Now, Beatle, you are an old soul, so you've listened to albums probably more so than other people of your generation. You think that's accurate?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Albums like Start to Finish, you put on track one and let it play all the way through.
He actually has albums, yes.
But that wasn't what he was talking about, though,
yeah.
Hardy.
So in order to know what a good track one is, you have to think about it in context with the rest of the album. And, you know, what's a good track one? It doesn't necessarily have to be the best song on the album, but is it a good track one? Say Tired of Sex is an excellent track one from Pinkerton. But is it the best one? No.
Hardy, Pinkerton, isn't that the same thing? Like, speaking of The Office, they had the Office Olympics where they put on the box shoes and they did the games, and remember they made it was when Michael bought his condo and they gave him the gold medal with the doves. Wasn't that the name of the game they played?
Hardy,
that sounds right.
Hardy, what's the what? I mean, I start thinking about to do it that way, like what the best albums of the 90s were.
Yeah, that's part of it. You can start to narrow it down that
like
way.
To try and figure it out.
Yeah
And the first album, and one of the like the iconic albums of the 90s for me, what?
Guns N' Roses, wasn't that early 90s? Wasn't that Use Your Illusion?
No, Nevermind is like, I don't know, I think 90s and think rock. That's like the first thing that comes to mind.
But you see, I mean.
And Smells Like Teen Spirit was the first track on that album.
Track
so if you bought that album and you had it in the early 90s, you popped that in, that was the first thing you heard. Like, that was ridiculous. How do you top something like that?
Because did the record get topped after that? You know? Should you put your best song or your biggest song, and not that you can always judge it, you know, a lot of this is judged in the aftermath, but is that the best idea for your album?
Well, now this brings up the other thing, is that when the band puts out the album, which songs do they think will be the hits? Not the record guys, not the A&R guys, the band. When they assemble the tracks, when they put the songs together, and they try and figure out the order of tracks, like when the band was just writing their music, putting it together, which did they think was the best?
And I don't know if it's that much of a discussion anymore, because they're not interested in...
Because they're not doing that anymore, but this is about 30 years ago now.
Yes.
29 years ago that album came out. If you can believe that. 617-779-0985. As you could tell, we're sort of open to everything today. We've got it all on the table. By the way, there is a report. We mentioned Cam Newton. There's a report that the Patriots will not be looking in his direction. We'll tell you about that and get some more of your calls coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's some NFL rumors for you as it relates to the Patriots and their quarterback situation. Jeff Howe yesterday had a report that said, regarding Cam Newton, it doesn't appear the Patriots have any immediate interest in adding the quarterback per source. So that sort of shot down the idea of Cam Newton, at least for the time being, coming to New England. Monday morning quarterback had 5 landing spots that would be best for Cam Newton. The 5 potential landing spots. And number 1 on the list, Connor Orr, has the Patriots as number one, as the best possible landing spot. Here are the reasons, though. It says it would be fascinating to see this offense with a mobility component at the quarterback position whenever Bill Belichick heaps praise on an opposing player during his midweek pregame filibusters. It's hard not to think there's an admiration there, along with a pretty good idea of how he might deploy that particular player's talents. At the least, Belichick could continue to churn quarterback assets into valuable draft capital and deal Newton, once he is healthy, to a team that desperately needs a new starting quarterback. So Connor Orr writes it up as a possible short-term thing. You bring in Cam Newton, you sort of rehab his image as a quarterback because he's playing and he's healthy if all things are going well. Mm-hmm. And then you flip him in a trade and you move him elsewhere.
Waste of time.
On what could be a good contract, given whatever he might sign for. You say right. Waste of time. Don't do it.
No, I didn't think then, like, is that really what Bill wants to do here? Is he chases Don Shula, is rehab Cam Newton and trade him away? No, if you're going to get Cam Newton, you're going to try and build something around him where you think the guy can still play. I just think I think they like the transition of going to a young kid. This is why he drafted.
Okay.
This is why he drafted Jimmy. This is why he drafted Jacoby, to bring a guy in and groom him and try and coach him up. Like, right, the last thing they want to do is bring a veteran, unless it's a Brian Hoyer backup type guy.
Okay, and I'm working on the assumption that they believe Stidham's ready and they're going to play Stidham.
I do,
but
too.
I don't know that. We're sort of speculating on that. Reading the tea leaves, Brian Hoyer being signed, that appears to be the perfect cheap backup veteran, almost like a coach. But let's play fantasy football here for a moment. Let's assume they don't think Stidham's ready. They think he's not good to go. He's not good enough for the job. He's not ready yet. I'm not going to throw this kid into the line of fire because I don't know that he can handle it yet. We're going to have more time developing him as a player. If they thought that, and I don't think they do, but if they do, would you consider it then?
If he has a clean bill of health, I would consider it based on what the contract would be. Like, you get him on such a deal.
All right. I'm getting you there, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're Josh McDaniels, yeah, I've had 6'5", 6'4", quarterbacks, but now I got one I can freaking run. At least pick, like, and I'm not saying, like, Lamar Jackson run. I'm saying 3rd and 3. Oh, man, we're going to get exotic. We're going to go spread. Good luck trying to tackle this guy if he turns the corner. He'll pick up first downs like that. I'm not saying come out on first down and run him on bootlegs. No, that's how he's going to get killed.
Do you want to hear another interesting rumor? Burt Breer had this one. He wrote on MMQB that his belief is the Patriots' post-Brady plan has 2020 as a year to get younger and a year to get the money and finances straightened out, and both should be apparent in how they handle the quarterback spot. He then wrote, one player I'd heard they'd sniffed around a little was Kyle Allen, who was traded from Carolina to Washington on Monday. He's another one that falls into the Stidham-Hoyer category economically. The Patriots were interested in Kyle Allen, according to Burt.
And Allen's a guy that showed he could play last year for Carolina. You know, and then when Newton was cleared healthy, right, and they ended up shutting him down, I don't think he liked the fact that, you know what, we're going to stick with the Allen kid because they're in a little bit of a role there. I would think he would be, upgrade over Hoyer, right?
Well,
Kyle Allen, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback, but he's more of like a Brad Johnson type guy to me back in the day that maybe you could be a lower-end starter.
A couple of things about this that confuse me. One, I don't put him in the same category as Hoyer because he's younger and he could turn into a team starting quarterback. So I view that as another guy to put in the mix and have, you know, they're going to have 3 quarterbacks. I believe that they've got one more to go. I think it probably comes through the draft.
Yeah.
But
that's a guy comes in and pushes Stidham. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This thing makes me believe they really did get Hoyer with the hopes of having Hoyer compete for the job, which I hate. Because I want Hoyer just to be the backup. And you can make it feel like a competition and look like a competition, but actually not have it be a competition.
Well, say the price tag was too high for Allen. Then they moved on and said, okay, we're going to bring Hoyer in. Maybe Allen was the first choice.
I still think they still would have done the Hoyer deal if they got Allen. And they would have had 3. Hoyer, Allen, still.
Would you really need Hoyer if you had Kessler? You know what I mean? I think they're going with the 3 they have.
You think Kessler is still in the mix, huh?
I don't. but it gives you three. It gives you an arm.
I don't either. I'm not even considering him a factor in any of this.
I don't think he's a factor at all, but you got three guys. You know what I mean? I don't think you would bring Allen and Hoyer in together. That's all I'm saying. You'd either bring Allen or Hoyer with Kessler and Stidham.
All right, let's go to Hardy's headlines. No commercials here. We can pick this up, continue talking about this and everything else from the day with your calls right after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.